Hello, Evers and Nevers, and welcome back to SGU with SNG. I'm Gail.
I'm Sam.
And we will be talking about chapter 20 in this episode, which is titled Secrets and Lies. And
already from that title,
we can tell that there will be secrets and lies.
We're all getting ready to digest
some major and
intense
secrets and lies.
Gossip fodder or something. Gossip fodder.
So basically, It starts with Agatha as a cockroach. I feel like she spends much of this book in her...
90% of Agatha's life is spent in cockroach form.
Yeah. And also, is that just, like, the natural animal that she felt...
Like, did she choose... Really... I think she chose consciously to be a cockroach, because, like,
it's... Or is it just, like, your animagus? Like, that's what she...
I mean, that's, I don't, personally, cockroaches are not my favorite animal. I do not like the noises they make, you know, how they scuttle. Skitter. Yeah, I'm not into that. So.
But you also, it's something that wouldn't seem strange in, the School for Evil, and it's not large enough that people would think,
right.
It's not as in Sophie could probably say, oh, I didn't notice it was there. Whereas if she has, like, a huge mouse in her pocket, that's first of all, Annandale's rats are gonna sniff them out. And second of all, or her out. Yeah, that probably just wouldn't work. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense.
So, one thing that, I mean, we get to it a little bit later in the chapter, but it just kind of makes sense to bring up now. So, you know how, well, in Harry Potter, they don't have any sort of brand that connects them to the school. But in School for Good and Evil, they are branded. You know, they have the tattoo. The silver swan.
Yeah, like, it's legitimately on
it's
them.
It's a mark of ownership. I thought that was really interesting. Because it's kind of, I mean, you know how cattle used to be branded? Well, I think they still are. Branded just because you would send them out to feed and graze and stuff, and you didn't want to always keep an eye on them, and then you can figure out whose is whose. So the students, you know, does this, but does, what I want to know is when does this, like, noted disappear, you know?
And also,
does it
when
only
does
last
start?
For 4 years?
Like, the second they get onto school ground, when you get your uniform.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Agatha and Sophie would have noticed if on the stimp, they're like, oh my gosh, this huge black swan disappeared on me, but I think I'm
silver,
good.
I think. Yeah.
No, because isn't it a different color for... Sorry,
no,
I just shifted.
No, it's just silver.
Yeah.
But we can...
No!
Fact check.
I thought they had a different one for each school.
Really?
Don't they?
Oh, I don't know. Could be.
We'll fact check that, like, in later episodes, so stay tuned for that.
Or you can fact check it if you so desire.
I think it's different.
But yeah, also, and then obviously in later books when they're not in
Silver
the school.
Silver Swan.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, so maybe it's the same.
I think it's both. But then in later books when they're not in school necessarily, they don't have the swan, to my knowledge.
Yeah. And
so does it only work inside school grounds?
Do the teachers have swans?
I don't
because
think the
spoiler,
teachers have
swans. Later,
but then in the
when or this isn't a large spoiler, but later when they're off of the campus, School for Good and Evil campus, it's never mentioned that they have the swan. So I'm kind of wondering what happens to the swan as time goes on. And
wait, okay. I got up to get the Ever Never Handbook, which is a very reliable. Oh, sorry.
Sorry if it's loud.
Gail doesn't like when I flip the pages in the mic. Which is understandable. It's probably loud for you guys. Okay, yeah. See, so in the book, if you just go to the school uniforms, never in any of them is the swan pictured. I mean, I guess it makes sense because it's just...
Maybe it would, like, ruin the vibe.
An accessory?
But no, because it's supposed to show... Because it's... You have it on your bare chest if... Because it talks about Tedros, like, when he's not wearing a shirt, when he's gallivanting around the castle, it's still on his skin.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're wearing clothing, it should show up.
Yeah.
And then not getting into it too much if, again, you haven't read the rest of the books, because, you know, this isn't supposed to be spoilers. But going through as the schools, some of their uniforms change, we'll put it that way. I don't remember the crest still being there in later books.
Yeah, it isn't. I don't think it's ever mentioned besides in
because
this book.
Because
it plays an important part in the plot.
Yeah.
And then later, when leadership changes a bit, I don't think it's as applicable because it's only tied to the schoolmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that about sums up.
Wait, but also, just going back to the thing, the color of it. Yeah, so we think it's all silver. Fact check us if we're wrong.
Yeah, it is.
But it's kind of weird if they all have the same thing because it's uniting in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you go into battle, but you all have the same shield or, like, crest on your shield or whatever.
And that's another weird thing, you know? Like, these are your classmates, but then later you're going to kill them.
Yeah, you're like,
it just creates a weird dynamic.
I remember Rumpelstiltskin, you know, Stiltskin. He had the cool hair. Then you're like, now he's terrorizing my kingdom or something like that.
Yeah. Now he's dead. Yeah. Like, rip.
Mm. Well, I guess that's a good thing. In this book, we never really have to get into that because, again, they're friends, at least in this area. We'll leave it at that. But, you know, we don't have to get into them killing each other.
No spoilies, not even Titsu ones. No
spoilies, okay. Anyways, back to Agatha's cockroach life. Would you like to continue, Sam?
Sure. So, yeah, Agatha skitters into Sophie's room. Well, her old room, as it turns out, because she sees shattered glass, noose dresses, 3 sleeping witches, and no Sophie to be found. Okay, honestly, if I was kicking my roommate out and they were incredibly talented at sewing and had made all these, like, couture dresses, are you kidding? I would keep them. I would, like, okay, they noosed them, but...
she's a threat.
Yeah, but couldn't they sell them or something?
I don't think they're thinking about that. On the black market?
I don't know.
I think they just see her as a threat. She's, somehow she's having time to do this. She's also, sorry, that was a bit of a, Hester also thinks that she's a cheater and you don't want to be surrounded by someone like that.
I mean, they don't take down the dresses, they leave them noosed. But in the book, I think, I don't remember, there's some drawing of it somewhere. And I think the dresses are also cut up, but that's not described in the book.
Yeah, maybe it's just for artistic, so you get more, like, this is
a... You're like, oh, it's broken. Not broken, obviously. Like, oh, it's irreparable. And, their friendship, it's a big metaphor. It's all a big metaphor.
Wait, once everything we finish this book, metaphor. And I wonder if you'd think this is interesting. It's, like, deep diving, but too much.
Like, way too deep.
Into things more than it's supposed to.
Do you ever do that? I do.
I totally do. I'm like, this water bottle, that was the metaphor. Symbolizes
eternal life. I mean, low-key,
though. Or something, I don't know, just something really... You're like, but let's just get back to that,
Let's just dive back into that water bottle. So I think it's really an allusion to Poseidon and how he's, you know... the god of basically the ocean, just kind of water, specifically Fiji brand and Dasani.
I'm thinking of this.
Father of horses. Earth shaker.
Father of horses and...
Stormbringer.
Stormbringer. No, it's Earth shaker, Stormbringer, and father of horses. No.
Is that Percy Jackson?
Yeah.
Poseidon, Percy Jackson. I don't think it's Stormbringer, because is it...
He is, yeah, he strikes it down.
Okay, but doesn't Zeus technically do that? Storms, earthquakes, droughts, floods, and horses, I stand corrected. Then, you know how it has recommended questions? The first one is, Percy Jackson really Poseidon's son? Does Poseidon love Percy? Who is Poseidon's favorite child? Why is Percy Jackson Poseidon's son? No apostrophe S. What comedy.
We could do an episode on Percy Jackson. We don't have
We could do an episode on anything you want.
Yeah,
including and especially Greek mythology. Silence.
Cricket.
I'd
totally
do it. I love Greek mythology.
Back to the book. Sorry. Yeah.
This is like 99% tangents.
Okay.
Yeah, so Agatha skitters out on her nasty little cockroach feet. If you could hear that in the background, I was, like, trying to skitter in the air. It was not cool.
Her finger is not.
Well, not like.
Not like actually. Not,
yeah. Okay, so Agatha skitters out before they see her, or so she thinks. But one does and sees the swan on her stomach. So kind of leaves you a little questioning there, like, who was it? But it's quickly revealed because
Well, first of all,
kind of obvious. Actually, no, at this point it isn't. But whatever, it tells us in like one paragraph, yeah. So it's Hester.
Well, because we
which
know
makes
it's her
sense,
tattoo.
Because Hester doesn't even sleep. No, they don't talk about the smoldering tattoo yet.
Oh, the tattoo's later, sorry.
Yeah, a little spoily, but we're assuming that you've read this chapter, so. Anyway, okay, yeah.
Whoop. Drop something, sorry.
Okay, so as a roach, Agatha is very smell sensitive.
Sorry about that, headphone user. That was loud.
Headphone users. That's a title. That's a title and a half if I've ever heard one.
Headphone user.
Headphone user. Sir
in middle
headphone
school,
user.
No, what should I say? In college, they dubbed me as headphone user.
Yeah, you're like
I
senior
was the cool
superlative.
Kid.
You know in yearbooks how they give you like the superlatives? You were the headphone user.
The headphone user.
Like a
most
cool
likely
font.
To use headphones. Sorry. Back
okay.
to the thing.
So, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah. As a roach, Agatha is very smell sensitive. I couldn't remember the word for that. It's sensitive. There's something that I could say that. Like, you could say that more concisely. But I don't know what. Okay, let's Google it.
She's very...
smell sensitive.
Hyperosmia.
that's a disease. Hypersensitive. As a roach, Agatha is very hyper... No, that's
no,
not right either.
It still smells... Well, it's okay. And so she's basically able to track Sophie by her trailing wisps of
perfume
that she left earlier. So I'm wondering how much earlier.
Yeah.
Are we talking like a
hours,
year ago?
Days?
eons? And so she, quote-unquote, nearly succumbs to a
shifty male roach. So, that seems a little sus, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I think it's, like, maybe, you know how, Sirius in another Harry Potter reference, or is that the first one?
No, second, I think.
Second one. Okay, in the episode, that is.
Yeah.
Sirius Black, you know how he spends a lot of time?
In all of our episodes, I think we referenced, like,
a lot.
Triple digits or something.
Yeah. You know how he kind of becomes, like, after he spends long times as a dog,
mm-hmm.
he kind of starts to get to feel like a dog himself.
Yeah, right.
So it might be like after she's a roach, she kind of like feels like she is a roach. In
and
a weird
tries
way.
To find a roach man.
No, but like instincts.
Like
instincts
Tinder
as
for
a roach.
Roaches?
No, I don't know. I'm just.
Roach Tinder. Yeah.
Again, we're reading probably a little far into this.
But still, I don't know. A little sus.
I don't know. I just feel like she's kind of... It's probably just funny writing.
It is funny.
And
also, you know the roaches in the School for Evil are shifty. Like, they're the roaches that you don't want to hang out with, I assume.
I mean,
if you want to hang out with any roaches.
Oh, I just had a moment where I was like, where in roach society would I be if I were a roach? What am I thinking about?
We would just be normal roaches. We wouldn't be very excited.
I know, but
it.
I was like, wait, is there a roach hierarchy or something?
We'd be like, oh, how do roaches communicate? Do roaches communicate?
Yeah, with like,
clicking?
Skitter. Clicking, yeah, I think. Fact check.
How do roaches communicate? Pheromones.
Pheromones, yeah.
Huh. How do roaches communicate with each other? I was gonna say that again. Okay. So we would be roaches that like podcasted though, so there would like when you put in your earbuds it'd be like our roach pheromones. Which is really gross.
But
oh, wait.
Then
cockroaches communicate via bacteria in their feces. Okay, yeah. That's the headline, but then you get to the fact and it's not as exciting.
I mean, no, that's probably
that's
the same
it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's on Science Mag.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I don't know how reliable it is.
Science?
Science Mag? Science Magazine?
That's very
dude, it was
reliable.
Published in 2015.
Doesn't mean it's not reliable.
There could have been massive
breakthroughs.
Massive breakthroughs in cockroach
no,
communication.
Science Magazine is great.
Okay. Like people. Cockroaches like to hang out together, especially when they have nothing else to do. Well, roaches never have anything to do.
Yeah, they do.
Wait, no. Gut bacteria pooped along with their feces emit odors that the roaches find attractive. When these bacteria are missing, cockroaches tend to go it alone. Interesting.
Huh. That's credited to...
That's obviously credited to science.
No, it's an author.
Stop. You're making me lose my window. No, it froze. Oh, there we go. To Elizabeth Panisi.
Thank you,
Elizabeth.
Anyways.
From sciencemag.org.
Eventually, Sophie, or Agatha, finds Sophie in the common room with Hort.
Hort is a great companion, always. And this is no exception. I mean, right? He's shirtless, squeezing he's squeezing so hard that his face is turning red. And, well, because he's trying to grow hairs on his chest.
No, well, he's trying to... Wait, is that a spoiler?
No.
At this point, we don't really know. Do we?
No, we don't.
Okay, don't spoil. We're not saying that. Uh-huh.
Well, he's growing hairs on his chest. Wasn't there that episode? I think it's in Adventure Time. When, you know, I can't remember. It's something, or maybe it's one of those. There's, like, some bear. He's, like, the man bear or something. And the main... Aha, did I find it? No, I did not. I've been trying to find... Oh, is this it? Is it this? I'm looking. I can't find it. But it's some show. I think you watched it with me. And, like, the main... Okay. I'll get to the point. There was none. No, but it was that the main character wanted to be, like, super manly. Like, this man bear thingy. He's really buff. And then it was, like, a lesson about manliness. And how, like... There is no one type or something. I don't know.
Anyway, so...
I don't know why that I watched that.
But... So she talks... She's like, bathroom, bring clothes.
Okay. Well, and Agatha scrawls that in lipstick on the curtain.
Because, as you know, when Agatha demogrifies, I'm gonna say, turn that into something.
Demogrify. I know.
She's naked. The clothes...
That was the book.
Evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, would you, like, lose your clothing?
Yes. Where does your clothing go?
It just goes into...
Oh, no. Because what happens is when you turn into... I don't know. If I turned into a cockroach, the clothing I would wear, like, I'm in, like, you know, I come out of the clothing.
You come out of the clothing. Okay.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a crisis there for a hot second.
So, what is the never bathroom phobia?
So, I actually... There's a part... Aha! Here it is. In the Ever Never Handbook, page 169, and it's number 4 on how to be the most respected villain in school by Hester. And number 4 is never ever let anyone see you in the toilet. A villain loses all... Oh. See you use the toilet, not in the toilet. A villain loses all menace and credibility once he or she is seen doing something so hideously normal. You are above this. Yes. That is true.
But Sophie's just, like, not going to use the bathroom.
She's just going to give Agatha. But it's always, it's kind of nice to know that there's never going to be anybody in the bathroom ever, you know?
Yeah. So those bathrooms must not be that gross if, like, no one uses them.
They are pretty gross.
They're just gross by nature, but not gross by, like, so many constant use or whatever.
Yeah.
That's...
It would, you know, it's so, it's the worst, because at... You know when, I hate when there are other people in the bathroom with you sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you just want to chill. Or someone walks in and you're like, come on, man. Like,
who is it, too?
I know.
Or when you say something, or, like, you're with a friend or whatever.
And then you realize someone else is there. And you're like, oh, no.
I didn't realize that someone else was there, but that's embarrassing.
It's very relatable.
So...
So then there's basically, then Agatha and Sophie have a massive argument about Prince's loyalty being a team.
Is this really Secrets of Lies?
I guess secrets are coming to light.
Agatha calls Sophie a liar.
So yeah, this is where the secrets start coming to light, and let's just jump right into the argument.
So yeah, it kind of just starts because Sophie says, look, I'm sorry, I couldn't just go home, not when I finally got my prince.
Wait, you be Sophie, I'll be Agatha. We can reenact this.
Look, this is page 306. Look, I'm sorry, I couldn't just go home, not when I finally got my prince.
You got your prince?
Well, it was mostly me.
You said you wanted to go home. You said we're a team. That's why I helped you.
We are a team, Agatha. Every princess needs a sidekick.
Sidekick? Sidekick? Well, let's see how our heroine manages all by herself.
I tried to kiss him, but he doubts me now.
Let go.
I need your help.
And I won't give it. You're a liar, a coward, and a fraud.
Then why did you even come?
Watch out. Crocodile tears mean crocodile wrinkles.
Please, I'll do anything. I swear.
Swear you'll kiss him the first chance you get. Swear on your life.
I swear.
You have to read the next one.
I didn't see it. I want to go home. I don't want them to kill me.
Huh? Complete with voices and gestures, Sophie hysterically replayed the faculty meeting, failed challenges, and fight with Tedros. We're getting too close to the end, Sophie, Agatha said, now ghost white. Somebody always dies at the end of a fairy tale.
What do we do now?
You're supposed to squeak.
What do we do now?
You win that trial and kiss Tedros the moment you do.
Okay, I think this is getting too long.
Things are getting out of hand.
Bottom line, the fight starts, and it kind of, like, goes down pretty quickly. As in, like,
It does happen pretty quickly.
But it's, like,
it peaks, and then it just fizzles. It's, like,
pity party.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Pity party.
And
so the argument culminates basically in favor of Sophie because, I mean, Sophie's getting death threats on the low down.
Yeah, but, like, Sophie also is kind of like, I wanted to kiss him. No, you turned him away when you were a fox.
Yeah, come on, Sophie.
But I guess...
Stretching the truth a little bit.
So that's where lies come in. But this also has been Sophie's dream for literally as long as she's known Agatha, her whole life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it would probably be hard to not get carried into this whole prince thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Agatha should know that in some way deep down, that, like, this is kind of Sophie's goal in life at this point.
And she does know.
But also, Sophie also has to know herself and be like, you know, I'm gonna get caught into this.
Yeah. And because Sophie knew what she was doing in the moment when she refused Tedros. She just didn't think of the consequences.
Yeah.
You know?
Sorry, that was the notification.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like at this point, maybe Agatha's more in the right, mm-hmm. but it's also, they're in denial with themselves, and they're kind of, they're not really knowing, or they're in denial about, like, what they want, because it's pretty obvious that Sophie really wants a prince. She's mm-hmm. talked about it the whole time, so Sophie's kind of lying to herself, and then Agatha's also lying to herself. Like, of course Sophie's going to get carried away.
Yeah.
You know her.
Right. And, I don't know, I was wondering, did Sophie kind of sucker Agatha into the argument going her way? Because in a way she did, she stretched the truth, definitely.
Yeah, she totally did.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of just like, she read the argument. She wanted to start it in a certain way, I think. Also, I might be reading too much into this, but she kind of starts it in, like, a certain way, so then she can say her lines and turn the tide.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, okay, wait. Which page? This was 306?
Yeah.
There's another funny bit, I think, right after. Sophie's like, I can't survive. I have 3 hours alone without Tedros protecting me. And Agatha's like, oh, you won't be alone. And Sophie's like, what? And Agatha says, you'll have a fairy godroach under your collar, conjuring you out of trouble. Okay, I thought that was really funny.
I thought the fairy godroach was funny.
Because a godroach is the furthest thing you can get from, like, a human
mm-hmm.
godmother.
So. Like, a fairy godroach Also, I feel like this humorous bit also takes, or it adds, it kind of, slows it. Would you say that? I don't know. It kind of covers up. If this humor hadn't been there, then you'd also be like, okay, so Sophie kind of just did this thing. She's kind of lying.
Mm-hmm.
Now Agatha's gonna cheat for Sophie.
Right.
But then this humor kind of is like, okay, it's all okay, you know?
Because
right now, at this point in the book, they have a pretty darn toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it kind of stays pretty toxic.
Over the course of the books?
Yeah.
I do too. Personally.
But also...
That was a sniff.
Also, a lot of things sound toxic if you hear everyone's thoughts.
True. I don't think so.
I don't know. I think
that was a brave statement.
I think they just need to figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, so then they're... Oh, yeah. And then here comes the part that we discussed a bit earlier with Hester and her tattoo smoldering through the shadows. So we know that Hester knows. Hester's likely gonna do a little bit of... Well, I don't think she'll tell the teachers. Because that doesn't seem like Hester's style.
Yeah.
But she will tell the other kids, you know? She'll start rumors.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Well, she does the whole extermination thing.
Oh, so she does tell the teachers. Huh. Interesting. But that's not tell... No, she doesn't tell on them. She just says that they're, like, nasty roaches.
Yeah. She doesn't say, like...
Honestly, surprised that the evil teachers would do anything. I thought they'd be like, no. It builds character or something.
Yeah, well, they probably knew something was up because it wouldn't be, like, Hester to complain about roaches.
True.
Oh, didn't she say there was, like, some... Maybe she said there was, like, an illness there.
Oh, right, because... No, because Agatha said she had the plague or something.
Yeah. Oh, no, she probably... We don't get into that too much in the book.
Yeah.
But she probably said something because that, like, would alert the teachers. Because it's kind of like if you say something and then people can read into it or read between the lines and be like, okay, so we have to do something about the roaches because it's not just about the roaches.
Right. Yeah. So then we go on to the next day. There are no class. Oh, it's the day before the trial. So, well, the trial by tail. There are no classes the day before the trial. It's time to scout the Blue Forest for those who are drafted. Or not necessarily drafted, but chosen.
Wait, are they allowed to just, like, walk around?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they scout out, you know, the hiding places and such.
Yeah, for some reason I don't remember that.
And... There's trouble in paradise, obviously, like the chill between Sophie and Tedros. You know, they're not their usual lovebird selves. Weepity weep.
Yeah. I mean, they really don't have their usual lovebird selves. It's kind of like they're either ignorant or they're fighting.
Yeah, they're not really... There's not really a happy medium for them. Either, yeah, like you said, they're
but
either...
But again, we're also not supposed to want them to be together.
I mean, I originally did, because I was like, oh, that's so cute, you know, like, they finally got people, but they also look like each other, so, I don't know, but, yeah, anyway, I honestly did like them in the beginning, until they got all sus.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, something I thought was really interesting is that teachers have absolutely no idea what's going to go on in the trial, what's going to happen, and they don't have a hand in it, or designing the challenges and such.
Yeah, it's totally different. We can compare this, obviously next chapter, because it is the trial by tail, like, comparing it to the Hunger Games, another mainstream,
another bit of a, YA. It's very, very niche. You may not know it.
Yeah, you can see how, like, the Capitol, they kind of know who's gonna win, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't, or they want it to be, like, a surprise, but they also, they can kill you if they want to.
Right.
Whereas here, it's, like, the schoolmaster has control if he wants to.
Right.
And other than that, it's kind of in the hands. But isn't it broadcasted, kind of?
No, it's weird. No, it's not.
It's not.
It's just the names on the scoreboard
that
go out. For me, what it reminded, well, what it contrasted most with is, well, in Harry Potter, how,
Goblet
you know,
Fire?
No, in the Fire first one, in the first one, when it's, like, the design, the series of tasks to get to the Sorcerer's Stone.
Sorry, is it Twi-Wizard or Tri-Wizard?
Tri-Wizard.
For some reason in my head, I was thinking Twi-Wizard.
No, because there's, like, Wilkie Twycross, who's their apparition instructor.
Oh, okay.
That's probably why.
Okay, sorry, keep going.
But, yeah, and so, you know, all the teachers they each engineered something to prevent the person from passing through. Whereas in this, it's just one person. Honestly, I feel like especially in obstacles, it's much less creative if it's just one brain.
Yeah, because again, they're going to have their own weaknesses. Whereas it's like if people put up an obstacle with something that they're really, in which they're really skilled, and it's different for each person,
that makes that it difficult.
It makes it difficult because that person usually has to possess all those talents.
Right, and usually no one person is going to excel at, I don't know how many teachers there are, like 14 or something.
It's like,
we can check.
It's like Harry and Hermione and
Ron.
Like, they got through that.
Among three people, they were able to get through it.
Because, like, Ron knew chess. Hermione basically knew everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry ended up at the end. But it's like, you can kind of see Hermione Hermione probably wouldn't have gone through
by herself. She wouldn't have gotten through.
She wouldn't have gotten
through.
There are
13 teachers, by the way.
She wouldn't have gotten through the chess part.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's like, you can know chess or you can know something, but it's also like backstory. Like Ron,
right.
That's his thing. He
that's
has so many siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he has to be good at it because, you know, it has to be like his skill.
And then Harry's good at Quidditch, obviously. You know, and common sense sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then Hermione is all about the book smarts and the logic and...
Yeah, and she's also common sense.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And
wait, where were you
thinking
going
on their
that?
Feet. How it's different from Trial by Tale. So, yeah, I just think it could have been much improved because I just checked, and like I said before, there are 13 teachers, I believe, at least according to the Ever Never Handbook. In their time, there might have been 12 or so.
But again, this also isn't the main plot point. Like,
some
action, but it's a few chapters. Whereas it's like, if all the action were resting on this trial by tale,
mm-hmm.
then it would probably be a lot more detailed. And
right.
it probably would be like, and this happened with this, and this, and this, and this, and this. But,
yeah.
you know, we don't have that because it's not the main attraction,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say.
Yeah, that makes sense. So then Sophie earnestly and wholeheartedly attempts to kiss Tedros, but it backfires.
Well, she does it after lying.
Oh, yeah. And, okay, something I wondered super fast, why is Agatha not in the trial? Because she's doing way better than Sophie grades-wise.
Yeah, why isn't she? Isn't she fourth?
Yeah, but I don't...
Is Sophie 10th?
I guess. Or no, but it's from each forest group. Two from each forest group.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know how that even matters. Shouldn't it be, like, the top 10 kids?
Well,
or I guess they pick from
Sophie's probably
rank.
Top of her group.
Forest group. No, but it's her, Tedros, Agatha, and, like, Beatrix. I don't think so. You know?
Yeah, so there it already is. Tedros and Beatrix. You got your top two. Good.
Oh, yeah, okay. But then who else would be evil from that group?
Like, Raven or something?
Oh, Hester or something.
Hester.
But Anadil is also in it.
Yeah, but Anadil is more of a sidekick, I think.
Yeah, but Anadil's in the Trial by Tale.
Is she in their forest group?
I think so.
No.
No?
I don't think she's in their forest group.
Huh, okay. Well, that must be... No, but it's only two people from each forest group is my point. It's Sophie and Tedros from their forest group.
Is Beatrix in their forest group?
I thought so, but maybe not.
Yeah, wasn't she? Because of the coffins.
Yeah, I think she is, but that's why I think Dot is in Anadil. Or Anadil.
We'll bring this back next episode to, like, kind of...
No, I just don't... I don't think there is any way they pick them.
It seems kind of random.
It doesn't line up. It doesn't line up. They just needed certain characters.
I mean, we'll, like, check it out.
I think that's a bit of a plot hole.
We can look at some wiki. We can look at past chapters and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess
yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll update you guys. It might just be a plot hole.
Yeah.
And then,
Okay, anyway. So, Sophie's kiss attempt backfired basically because she didn't deliver her lines exactly as Agatha had told her to.
Weird way.
Yeah. So,
because she keeps improvising, or Sophie, that is,
and botching it up.
But also, I don't think Tedros Also, I feel like Tedros likes her, but she also he does also doesn't want to be rejected again, maybe, in a public setting, too.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I don't, but their attraction doesn't really go deeper than physical looks. And that's not really, I don't think that's ever a base for a healthy or long-lasting relationship.
Yeah, because again, looks fade, or do they? This book tells us that looks don't fade. Looks shown by the good faculty.
Do not fade. But yeah, and then Sophie is terrorized by Vex and Brone on page, hold on a hot second. Three ten. Cause Vex and Brone, they're trying to see how tall she is. They're apparently setting traps or something. So.
Yeah, so it's like, it's that part is totally different from the Hunger Games. It's like they totally, the kids, kind of like in Harry Potter, the kids are the ones setting the traps.
The kids take initiative to kill.
Yeah, but then in Hunger Games, it's more like, you kind of deal with what you have, whereas
and
here
the
they're
Games,
kind
it's
of
unwilling
planning
killing,
it.
Unless you're a courier.
Yeah, but here they're planning it out, and mm-hmm. you're not going in randomly. You're kind of like, this is who I want to kill, or whatever, or this is right. who I want to get, and I'll do it with these. Wait, did they have, are they allowed to bring in, like, outdoor resources, or whatever?
Yes. We see it a little teensy bit later. Yeah, you're allowed to bring in, I was gonna say guns, weapons, and such. But actually, yeah, we'll get into it a bit later, but you'll see definitely a gender disparity. You know, the boys are allowed to bring weapons, but the girls don't have anything, at least for the Evers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting.
Because, yeah, we'll get into it later, but it's probably, like, the whole thing that the guys are supposed to be, ever boys are supposed to be chivalrous
all
and kind
of
protect them.
Sexist tropes and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So now comes the part about the roach extermination, you know, brought on, oh. Yeah, yeah. Initiated by Hester. Right. Yeah, okay. Hester says, apparently they've been running around our school at night, couldn't have the risk of plague, of course, after your friend was sick. Besides, a good reminder to anything that tries to go where it doesn't belong, don't you think? And she eats the roach, which I think is definitely
not pretty. Agatha.
Oh, no. She eats Agatha. And that's where the book ends, funnily enough. What do you know? No, she eats just a roach, which I thought was a pretty big flex. So then Agatha ditches Sophie, because Agatha's in cockroach form, and she scurries away from Sophie into the good tunnel. So.
Yeah, I mean, that I feel like that would take a bit to get there, and, yeah. And Hester would, like, chase after
wait,
you.
Wait, we watched? Okay, there was an SNL thing recently, a video called Tiny Horse. It's very funny, and it reminds me of that, you know, because he's like, get, boy, get, and the horse, like, runs.
The horse is tiny.
It's tiny. So it makes it, like, a foot in 5 minutes, and he's like, come on, boy, or something. It's really funny. Highly recommend. Go definitely watch Tiny Horse. It is
pretty
funny.
Great. Anyways, basically, Agatha is planning to attack, so...
No, Agatha's...
Agatha's planning,
to attack in question
to attack, not in the trial of thy tale.
No, but... She drags him
Agatha's
in.
Agatha's planning to attack. Sorry, that was a bit of, like, an open-ended, open-for-interpretation line. But, like, why?
Yeah, I didn't know really know where she got that idea, because there aren't really any allusions to it until page 311, when Agatha's like all the teachers, Seder's bedchamber adjoined his study. Break its lock and she could surprise him in his bed. She didn't care if the creep didn't want to answer questions. She'd time to his bed if she had to.
Because I guess she just wants him to answer the riddle because
yeah,
he doesn't
she wants,
like have
I guess
question hours.
Oh no, she wants him to... I don't... Oh, okay, she wants to ask him to protect Sophie because she doesn't think Sophie will be able to survive for 3 hours. Which is, like, zero faith, but
also
to be honest,
weird.
Valid.
Like, yeah, but, like, would you go to a teacher and you're like, hey, Snow, President Snow, can you kind of watch over my boy Peeta over there? No!
I don't think so.
That's cheating, first of all. And second of all, it's kind of designed to have you vulnerable.
Yeah. I don't...
So, yeah, that was a bit weird, but...
I agree. But, yeah, I just thought it was funny how the situation just escalated. I mean, I guess it was already escalating because Agatha was discovered. But then she's like, oh, I gotta get Sator, man, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So then Agatha wonders if Sator can see the future. I was wondering, is he more or less reliable than, like, Trelawney, for instance? It seems like he's more reliable. He's certainly a better person. He's nicer.
I think he's more reliable because he can't, like, pretend to see things where they aren't because he can't see.
True.
So he can't be like, look at the tea leaves.
So it keeps him honest?
Or I guess he could totally make stuff up. He's like, oh, but you don't have the inner eye. See, you're not blind.
Really do something with it. But I think he's a more reliable source. Because Trelawney's always like, oh, you're going to drop your AirPods case, Gail. Okay. She's holding her AirPods case. And then you'll kind of drop it because it's, I guess it's just subconscious maybe.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, he's just
like, you're going to drop that crystal ball or something. So you drop it. But then... She's more into, like, trying to prove to people that she's insecure about her. Whereas Sator's like,
I got
what
it.
What proof do I need?
Exactly.
Anyways, so Dovey catches Agatha, of course, and so she gets...
2 weeks cleaning toilets. Honestly, that's not even that terrible.
It's not bad because the nymphs
clean the nymphs do toilets. Everything.
The nymphs, the nymphs aren't weird. The nymphs are part of this weird
slave thing. They're like indentured slaves, kind of. And then the ever toilets are super nice.
Yeah. So, hey, send her to clean never toilets, that's a punishment.
Yeah. Send her to clean... Nobody sits on those toilets anyway.
Yeah, but they're just, like I said, they're disgusting by nature. They're just kind
of nasty. I bet they're like porta potties, you know?
Oh my gosh, like Toto or something?
Toto?
Toto? Isn't that like some brand of porta potties?
I don't know.
I swear it is.
I just, okay.
I'm what you'd say,
a bit of a connoisseur.
Porta potty connoisseur.
Okay, the worst time, though, was when I was really little and I was at a camp. I had to go to the bathroom, you know? I mean, because we all do, right? But there was a wolf spider in the porta potty, and it was terrible.
They're
poisonous and they're super hairy and it was just not, the vibe.
It's not fun. Anyways.
But porta potties are a great invention, so.
But it doesn't seem like that's very bad. I mean, 2 weeks, okay, that's kind of miserable. But like.
Yeah, but the ever toilets, that's not even a thing.
Kind of like, just fun. Bruh. You probably pretend it's like you're on like a YouTube channel. Like, next, welcome we're back be to using my YouTube channel. This to clean this. She's like, you just gotta
use that elbow grease.
Scrub that crystal or whatever.
Scrub that crystal. I don't think
you can sit on
crystal toilets.
I don't know, I feel like she cleaned the whole
area. Yeah, you have to clean everything.
Yeah, I mean like mirrors and...
Oh.
Is it just the toilet?
I think it's just the toilets.
I don't know.
I mean, she said just toilets. Yeah. So. Oh, okay. And then we go on to page 313 where we get some little bit of dreams of home. And then we can compare and contrast Sophie versus Agatha. So Sophie... They're dreams. Their character and their complexities. Now, yeah, so Sophie dreams she was fleeing Hester through pink fog. She tried to scream Agatha's name, but a roach crawled from her mouth instead. At last she found a stone well and swam to its bottom, only to find herself in Gavaldon. Wow, she hit rock bottom, but it was her hometown. She felt strong arms, and her father carried her to her house, which smelled of meat and milk. She needed the toilet, but he took her to the kitchen, where a pig hung on a gleaming hook. A woman drummed red nails on the counter. Tsk, tsk, tsk. Mother? Sophie cried. Before the woman could turn, her father kissed Sophie goodnight, opened the oven, and threw her in. Sophie woke with a jolt so hard she smashed her head on the wall and knocked herself out. Have you ever done that? Like, I one time bonked my head on the wall really hard at night. And, you know, I was kind of waiting for it to hurt, but it never did because I was so tired. I mean, and like the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh, my head hurts.
I had a light switch next to my bed, so sometimes I would like
nudge it
in the middle of the night, and then I'd turn on the light, but then like the full room light, and then I'd kind of like get into like a danger stance or whatever, and be like, who was it?
Danger.
And then I was like the one who turned it on, and then it would like, I'd scare the bejesus out of me, and I'd kind of just have to turn it off and be like, it's okay, Gail, it's okay.
Yeah, that's always the worst. And then Agatha dreams Gavaldon was on fire. A trail of burning black dresses led her up Graves Hill, and when she got to the top, she found a grave instead of her house. She heard sounds from within and started digging, hearing voices now, nearer, nearer, until she woke to them next door. So it's basically Tedros and Beatrix having an argument. Beatrix is telling Tedros that Sophie cheats with Agatha. And Tedros is like, but Sophie's not friends with Agatha. Agatha's a witch. They both are. Agatha turns into a cockroach to give her answers. And so Tedros calls her insane. And Beatrix is like, they're both villains, Teddy. They're using you. Okay, so Beatrix is telling the truth, but for the wrong reasons, you know? She just wants to sow discord and cause Tedros to ditch Sophie and get with her.
Yeah, it's like Tedros loves Sophie, but for the wrong reason.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't really call it love at this point. More like teenage, or not more teenage. I don't want to say teenage infatuation, because like some people do fall in love in their teenage years.
Exactly.
But it's more just like adolescent.
It's not, no, it's just looks. It's like
looks. Physical.
It's
attraction.
Yeah.
Infatuation. Wait, but let's quick go back to the dreams. So what do you think, like, the difference?
I think Sophie's is just, well, they're both sad, which makes, well, or grim, which makes sense based on the recent occurrences. And Sophie's fleeing Hester through pink fogs, like the extermination. The roach, Agatha. I think the hitting rock bottom and it being Gavaldon is funny.
I think that the mother, that could be like a driving force to Sophie's wanting to have a prince, because so her mother, who she thinks is her mother, is saying tisk tisk, and so this is kind of after Sophie feels like she's failed a bit in getting a prince. So I think that could be one of the driving forces. So she's like, it's not friendship driving her with Agatha, she values family more over friendship in a weird way, even though her dad, she doesn't really love her dad at all, and she feels like her dad doesn't love her.
Right.
But it's like, her mom's kind of a martyr.
Yeah. Wait,
weirdly.
Something also I wanted to point out. So her father kisses her, opens the oven, and throws her in, right? So she's not the witch, you know? Because it's always the princess, you know, who's victimized. Yeah. It's Hansel and Gretel
Gretel.
Right, she's Hansel and Gretel. Or just any generic.
Well, I mean, Gretel did get thrown in. She's Hansel.
Neither got thrown in.
Hansel was going to get in, but then Gretel, like, came behind the witch or something and, like, whacked her and threw her in.
Gave her a good old whack.
Gave her the good old 1-2. Cat give it a cat to the
one. The old 1-2. Story of my life. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so then, and then Agatha's dream, the burning black dresses, I mean, that's just kind of like Sophie's gowns, her DIY stuff, right? And then she finds a grave instead of her house.
So she feels like she doesn't have a home. Yeah. Wait, Agatha this is?
Yeah.
Or maybe...
Okay, Yoda.
Maybe... But she has a mom. Maybe it's... Oh my gosh, maybe it's like later gonna be symbols for... Might be reading too far. Again.
Okay, we also know what's gonna happen.
We know it happened, so I'm saying that it might be a symbol for later things, as in with the graveyard, in with gravestones, in later books.
Oh, that's true.
Stop right there.
It's also kind of like the Garden of Good and Evil, you know, all those graves.
Yeah. But so she does...
She's digging for mealworms is what she's doing.
But her mom never gets mentioned, which is kind of...
Yeah, that's strange,
It's
actually.
More just about herself.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Agatha's scared of herself.
Sophie's scared of her family.
But Sophie blames the world for her issues, but Agatha blames herself. Yeah, that actually does work, because Sophie's never like, I'm the problem. It's right. More like, everyone else is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then Agatha's like, I'm the weird one. I'm the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. That's a bit of a...
little analysis bomb. There of we dreams. Go. Analysis.
You can come to me for analyzing your dream.
Divination specialist.
No, but sometimes you know how like it's. I don't know if this is true, but like your dreams subconsciously tell you stuff.
Yes.
So my dreams are the weirdest things, and I'm like, stuff? Am I subconscious? Yeah.
That's and it's stuff that you've learned before, but like you don't remember, I guess, and then you relearn it and you're like, dang.
Okay, no, one time I actually made stuff up in my dream. Like yeah, I discovered something, but then I looked it up. I literally remembered the whole correct spelling, and when I woke up I looked it up and it wasn't a thing, and I was like, darn, I thought it was onto something.
I remember sometimes it's nice, you know, you're really learning something if you know, you dream about it. At least for me sometimes. And then also I remember a long time ago before a math test, I dreamed about math, but it was a problem I couldn't solve. And it was the worst because you know when you're kind of, you feel like you're not sleeping? Yeah. I mean, you are. So time goes by really quickly, but you still feel like you're awake.
Yeah.
Well, I was working on that math problem for like 6 hours. And, like, I wasn't going anywhere because it kept changing, you know, in my dream. It wasn't, like, one at all. It was so weird. Lots of math sagas.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Or maybe, I don't... Yeah, dreams are really weird. Or, like, it goes into your brain because apparently... It's, like, during dreams, it's, like, all your memory. Mm-hmm. It's when your memories go from, like, short-term to long-term. It's, right. Like, when your mind makes the change or whatever. Your brain. But sometimes my dreams get implanted into my memory as something that actually happened.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
And
then I'll kind of say something that I think someone will understand, but they don't because I dreamed it. Yeah. I don't know. I could do a whole podcast weird thing.
Reflections with...
Sam and Gail dream reflections.
Yeah, that would be...
kind of interesting.
That would be very interesting. I don't think anyone would listen, but... interesting for us to do. Okay, right. So Agatha now goes up to the Library of Virtue, tailed by Tedros, who suspects her and feels insecurity regarding Sophie's truthfulness. So Agatha gets a book, and Tedros is like, ooh, I have to go see, you know, because the tortoise is there and he writes his sleep and all that cool stuff. And Agatha takes out flower power, plant charms for a happier world, and snorts, berating himself for doubting his princess.
Tedros berates himself for doubting his princess.
Yeah. So, funnily enough, like, when I reread this after having read the books... Spoily.
Spoily for, like, 20 seconds. Okay, yeah. Go.
When he got together with Agatha, I thought he was berating himself for having doubted Agatha, not Sophie.
Yeah, I also, when I read it for the first time, I actually thought that, 20 too. Seconds. Okay, I actually thought that, too, even though, like, we didn't know that they got together. Okay, spoily over.
Okay, so now we can go over the rules.
I like that scene, kind of.
I do, because too.
Because it's also weird. It adds another layer to...
misogyny,
well, first of all,
kind of?
No, first of all, I like the whole library scene. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it adds another layer to Tedros' relationship with Sophie, because it's weird because, yeah, it's kind of misogynistic. But then there's also the part where, it's talking about feelings, actually. Mm-hmm. And so he doubts, so he actually feels trust with Sophie.
Right.
And it's not, like, that's kind of the first time where it's not just physical.
Mm-hmm. He trusts her, right.
Yeah. But, sorry, for continuity's sake,
continuity's
sake, we stopped for a second because I'm on a mailing list for Lee Bardugo,
I didn't even
Six
know
of
about
Rose,
it.
And she just sent an email.
And it said, and the subject line was, are you ready?
So I had
we
to
were
read
very
it.
Excited. We can, wait, let me update you super quickly. If you care, if you don't, then just bear with me. However... Okay, so Rule of Wolves will be arriving on March 31st. This is just quick summed up. Shadow and Bone, the Netflix series, will be coming to Netflix this April. And, she's doing this thing called
January, February, March,
Are you
April.
Counting
is April
months?
Before or May? No, April, May. It's 4 months.
You literally said it, and then you counted it, and then
I was like, is it March, May, April?
Going through some stuff here. Okay, and this thing called...
April, May. Yeah, we're good.
Begin as you mean to go on, so it just means that you commit 15 minutes to something you want to do more of in the new year. So, like, meditating, learning a new language, reading, posting about small businesses you want to support, baking, calling a friend you've lost touch with, taking a bath, eating more leafy greens, plotting revenge. We will podcast more is what we will do. We will
podcast more.
Yeah, so I think that's actually really cool. And I'm definitely going to pre-order Rule of Wolves.
Cause, like, some non-sponsored stuff, but non-sponsored. We love Levi Dugo.
I got Gail hooked.
She did.
You're not as hooked as me yet, though.
I'm not as hooked as you. The thing is, I'll know, I can quote some things, but I haven't gotten... We're on a level. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know, I mean, we don't do it too much on the show, but, like, we will directly quote Harry Potter just because it's, like, it gets to a point where you can quote books.
It'd be better if it were something...
Like, I can quote it.
More academic, it's okay.
I can quote it a bit, Six of Crows.
Yeah, except you can only quote direct. The most...
It's more, like, paraphrasing more.
Yeah. And you quote the more... You can't quote the niche ones.
Yeah.
Not that any of the lines are really niche, but...
Yeah, it's Six of Crows. It's famous. Yeah. Anyways, this is a lengthy episode.
But yeah, read Six of Crows, write to me about it, well, write to us about it, and I'll be so happy. Anyway, yeah, so blah, blah.
Oh, wait, random thing.
Trial by
Anyway two. Versus anyways, and it's torward versus torward.
British, English versus American.
Yeah, but
English.
I've been corrected for writing tor words.
Towards?
Instead of toward.
Yeah,
I don't
me
know.
Too. It depends.
I think there's a different.
I don't think. It's just British versus American English and spell check and stuff. And teachers, depending on what they want.
Yeah.
Or professors or however, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we go on to the rules of the trial by tail, which I don't know where it is.
Would you like to enlighten us?
I would love to. I also wish I had a good British accent.
That's something we all wish for.
I think so too. Wait, I have to sneeze.
Away from the mic.
I get a big juicy sneeze right on the mic. ASMR. Achoo. My sneeze passed.
Just a yawn.
I yawned like 80 times. Okay, I don't know why I cannot find it. Okay, the rules of the trial by tale were few and precise. Here, Gail, would you like to read it? I've been doing a lot of reading. From right here. At the moment
the sun went down. This is on page 315. At the moment the sun went down, the first two challengers would enter the blue forest. Every 15 minutes, another two would enter according to their pre-trial ranks, until the last pair entered more than 3 hours after the first. Once inside, Nevers could attack Evers with their talents and any spell learned in class, while Evers could defend themselves with approved weapons or counterspells. The schoolmaster's conjurers would hunt them both. There were no other rules. Oh, and then it was the challenger's duty to recognize mortal danger and to drop his enchanted handkerchief. The moment it touched the ground, he would be safely transported from the trial.
Is that all?
And then, upon the first glint of sunrise, the wolves would call the end, and whoever returned through the gates would be named the winner. There had never been more than one. Quite often, there were none at all. So did that mean someone gets... How are there none at all?
I guess they all get eliminated. They're not killed. They're just...
Yeah, but don't you kind of just, like, the last one to be eliminated?
Yeah.
But you have to exit. It's not kind of like it stops.
But I guess some people could kill, you know, it's like the double spell, I guess. Like, I kill you, you kill me. You know, like, we do it at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like for the I kill, you kill me, do you think an ever or a never would be more likely to use that? Just, like, based on the rules.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. I mean, like, if there are two people left and they both fire their spell at the same time, then they both die.
Oh. No, but do you think, just say someone's like, we either... I feel like a never would do that. But all evers are also kind of awful because they don't want to... They're, like, supposed to put on this thing, but no one's really that good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of, like... What I'm trying to say here is I feel like although if it were, like, an ever and a never were the last people, it was almost sunrise, but one was about to fight the other, and the other could only, like, do a spell, like, in a very alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
One could... Parallel universe. If someone could, like, fire a spell at the other person that would somehow also subsequently kill them or eliminate them.
I don't think you would try to do that though.
I know, but if it were like the other person was about to get you, I think an ever would also do that, honestly.
Oh, but I don't think you can self-destruct. I don't think that's a
okay
thing.
I don't know. I was just wondering if it were a thing.
That would be cool, but I don't think it's
a no, because I feel like at the end of the day, they're very similar. Evil.
Evil
it's
good.
Like how people
definitely
say, like, love and hate. They're
love and hate are also similar.
Similar. But then, basically, the Ever Boys are strong and well-armed.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about this. So it's the gender roles, again, that are so commonly perpetuated over the course of the book. I mean, I think it's more... I think it's just meant to... Well, they do evolve over the course of the series, definitely,
yeah.
I do think. But it's just meant to show how traditional good is at this point. So, and honestly, how sad evil is. So, Everboys each carried a blue kite-shaped shield, matching their navy cloak and single weapon. Most had chosen bows and arrows, blunted by Professor Espada to stun rather than injure. I'm pretty sure arrows don't ever stun. If they're blunt, they're not gonna stun you.
They're still gonna. They're either
they're just
bounce
gonna
off you,
boink off, or something.
Like leave a bruise, or
yeah, rather than injure.
Yeah,
the
stun. That would mean like you'd have to. Where would you hit him? The head.
Yeah, brain damage. Though Chaddock and Tedros had opted for heavy training swords. Nearby, Evergirls quietly practiced their animal calls and tried to look as helpless as possible, so boys would take them under their wings. So this is page 316. Oh, and then the Chosen Nevers, meanwhile, are hunched and glowering. So I think it's so interesting, you know, because good is already, you know, they're raring to fight. They're so excited. And then the Nevers are like, come on, man. I want to go
like I don't
eat
wanna
pig
this.
Feet, you know,
yeah.
Or whatever, and, like, gruel.
So
or
it's
like,
also like the Nevers really have no
point.
They have no
team spirit. School spirit.
Yeah, but they have nothing backing them, giving them drive, or they have nothing.
Mm-hmm. They have no motivation.
Motivation, that's the word. They have no motivations because
yeah.
Literally everyone's telling them, we've been losing all these years. Yeah, we want to win, but like, we've also been losing all these years and there's no point.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, hopefully the Nevers get it together at some point, because at this point they're just sad, you know. I mean, I guess it makes sense because villains are meant to be individual. They're not meant to work as a team, really.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's the evil mastermind. It's not the evil
mastermind.
Yeah,
mastermind.
The evil
although
team
it is. It's like the evil mastermind who used his or her group of whatever their. Kind of the people that back them up, their cronies,
mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, what do you call it?
Their henchmen.
Really not.
Synonyms are not working.
Thesaurus
deactivated.
Anyways, so, basically, meanwhile, while this is going on, the unpicked Evers are kind of partaying.
They're ready. They have, obviously, incredible food. I wish I was there just for the food. They have baskets of spinach mousselines. I don't know what that is. Hold on while I Google
sounds
that.
Sounds good.
It sounds good, though. Spinach. Oops. Mousselines. Let's see what these bad boys are. Okay. I don't think it's a thing. Oh,
it's just a mousse, but small, probably. Ew, that kind of sounds gross.
Yeah, this is not the hottest looking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, wouldn't it just be, like, a mousseline?
Oh, so it's either, like, these...
Wait, look at mousseline. Ooh.
Okay, it's
like a
oh, it's, like, cream.
Spinach.
Yeah. A soft, meat. Light, sweet, or savory mousse. So it's spinach mousse. Okay, that sounds fine. I mean, that's not as amazing as I originally envisioned, but it does sound pretty good. Then creamy chicken crepes. Okay. I mean, why is the chicken creamy is what I want to know.
I feel like it sounds like some Indian dish, but, like, described badly by a foreigner or something. I don't know.
It doesn't sound like an Indian dish. It just sounds like, you know,
when like with you the get crepe, a menu like and it's translated.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. One time I ordered something that was described. I thought it was like a chicken burger or something. It was described as a warm chicken muffin with rocket. I didn't know what on earth they meant. I was like, what? Whatever. I ordered it.
Sam was sick and we were at a hotel and we had to order room service.
And it was terrible. Ugh. It almost made me throw up. And that's what this reminds me of. I'm kidding. I'm sure this is light years better. Also, I was sick, so it could have been something good.
It was not good.
It was not good. If it was something good, I would have eaten it. I digress. Anyway, so they have the creamy chicken crepes, bell pepper skewers.
I did not eat it.
No, I didn't. I smelled it, and then I, like, ran to the bathroom.
Okay.
Bell pepper skewers, elderflower custard, and pitchers of cherry grenadine.
I think my mom ate it. Sorry. No.
Yeah, it was not the vibe. It was pretty bad. I thought you ate it.
Eat it?
Yeah, you probably did.
I didn't eat chicken.
When you were like 5? Yeah, you did.
Oh, that's a really long time
ago. It was a long time ago.
I didn't even remember it that long ago. Yeah, maybe I ate it.
Yeah, and so meanwhile, the unpicked nevers hover near their tunnel in slippers and nightcaps, ready to flee at their team's first sign of humiliation. Right, so honestly, ever food always just sounds so good, regardless of whether or not it is good. But it's also like
the evers are ready to win.
Yeah. I mean, I would be too if I'd won for the past, like, zillion years.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like the expecting to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, they've tightened security so that students can't sneak in, but
Agatha knows what she's doing, not concerned.
Our femme fatale.
We don't find out in this chapter. Well, we know that Agatha's going to get in, guys. There's a whole another 5 books. Okay.
All about Agatha's the trial of Ted.
Okay, and then Tedros, yeah. So, if anyone cheats, this is Castor. They deserve to die. And I don't put it past any of these villains, Tedros said, golden cheeks ruddy with cold. He took her hand, still gripping her kerchief. You can't, Sophie. You can't drop it. Without Agatha feeding lines, Sophie just nodded helplessly. Sophie, we've seen you ad-lib badly, but you have a brain, man. You know?
Yeah, I feel like at this point she feels like she doesn't. Yeah. She feels like Agatha's holding her back. She feels like Agatha's holding her back, but at the same time, she, like, won't use herself.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds weird. She won't, use her own resources.
Right. And then Tedros,
aka her brain.
Tedros is like, you don't have anything to say? And so he's like, a kiss for luck? And Tedros is like,
nah.
In front of the whole school? That's an idea. Sophie lit up and thrust out her lips with relief. A long one, she sighed. Just in case. Would you like to read the next couple lines?
Not really.
Starts with,
sure.
Oh, I'll give you
a long one, he grinned, when we win, right before I carry you into the good castle. And then Sophie's like, oh my gosh, no. But suppose we don't. And then Tedros gently... Sophie did say, oh my gosh, no, that was me. Anyway, then Tedros gently pulled the red silk from a trembling finger. We're good, Sophie, he said, tucking it deep in her coat pocket. And good always wins.
Mm-hmm. Darn straight. Okay.
So how do you think... I mean, we know.
And Sophie enters. The trial had begun. So what do we think about this chapter?
It's actually spiders sealed behind her. They're the things keeping people out. Yes. The trial had begun. So what are your final thoughts?
I didn't like this chapter as much as other chapters.
One scene I love is, like, just the description of Agatha going to the library library, pardon me.
Oh, I like the food.
And kind of, like, with the turtle, the tortoise. Mm-hmm. And, like, writing the name on the log.
Yeah, I do like that part, actually.
But it's a really long chapter. It feels like a lot happened.
Yeah, but it wasn't very interesting, yeah, at least, like, for me. It could be the mood I'm in right now or the day or whatever. Yeah,
but it's like you don't really... It doesn't make us like Tedros or Sophie more.
Or Agatha,
either. It kind of makes us feel like Hester's making sense.
No, it makes us all, like, hurt because who hasn't struggled with growing chest hairs? No,
but, like, Hester...
I like how he's making him grew too.
Like, I feel empathy for Hester because she wants to do the best she can, but then there's this person who's cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
She's already good, but she's cheating.
I really do not like how they do cheat. That just makes me, you know, sad. I hate people who cheat. Well, I hate when people cheat. It just makes me angry.
Yeah, because it's like so many people are actually trying out there.
Right. And it's not, well, obviously, it's not fair. And yeah. It's not ethical either. I don't know how people feel comfortable cheating.
Yeah, it's just not great. But, I mean, do you have anything... I do like all of, like, the fun, kind of, like, the spiders protecting the trial by tail. I think it's interesting to learn about it, because you're not going in blind.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I'd say it's, like, a middle chapter. It's not very boring.
Right.
There is some action. It's not just filler.
But I think the real action will be in the actual trial of tail chapter.
Yeah, but we did need this to kind of set it up. And we got some added action. So yes. Yeah, honestly, pretty mediocre chapter. Do you have anything else to say?
Last thoughts? Final thoughts?
No.
Nope, I think that covers about everything. And if you'd like to email the show, you can email us at sgewithsng@gmail.com. As always, we love to hear from you. And also, we have a form out for a new special episode that should be coming out pretty soon. It hasn't closed yet, so if you have opinions, make sure to fill those in. It's about who your dream casting for the SGE movie would be. So yeah, we'll link that in the description. Be sure to fill that out if you're interested in having your opinions discussed.
And if it's not in the description, it will be on the SGE forums.
We've posted it before. We can post it again just in case. So yeah, check that out, please, if you want to be featured. And yeah, that sums everything up.
Yeah, I'm Gail.
I'm Sam.
And this has been SGE with SMG. Bye!